appreciated Alpheus's prayer, especially the part where he talked about the man of God. He forgot to say old man of God. All right. Oh, we got a commercial, the first thing. This is what we'll see on the television just every time we turn it on, if any news station. And so I'm not really trying to present the news again, but this is the time, and the need of the hour is being concerned and knowing about this virus that is dominating the whole world. 150 nations have this virus. And so to say it is a deadly enemy is an understatement. This coronavirus has confined us to our homes. We're shut in for the most part. And so many of us have time on our hands, and sometimes we wonder, what am I going to do just looking at my wife, or she looking at me all day long? Well, if you're retired like I am, we've been doing that for a while. So I'm used to it. But it is a time for us to think soberly about our life, our physical life, and it is a time to listen to authorities and to those who have control over our situations in this world. And I am sure that every single nation, whatever kind of government that they have, they are wanting to get rid of this virus. And it knows no borders. It knows no genders. It is what it is. It is what do they call that? But we need to listen to our doctors. Wash your hands, avoid big crowds. We don't have a big crowd here, but we take our medicine, we eat properly, we get our rest, and so we try to be healthy. But most of us do that every day, but now is of greater concern than ever. And while this is a time of real hardship on a lot of people, we need to also be kind and gentle and good to our neighbors and helpful to all people as we have opportunity to help them. And especially those in Christ, we need to be concerned about one another and pray daily and often for each other. Get my sword in hand here. This hand. This. All right. Turn it on. Well, when you got a rookie in the pulpit. Okay. All right. Did I skip one? Yes, there we are. Now, with all of our thinking about our physical health, we also need to think about our spiritual health. Amen. And there is a disease worse than coronavirus. Right. That disease, of course, as Christian men and women, we know is sin. That's a sin that will kill us not only physically, but kill us eternally. And Jesus said, "Fear not those that are able to kill the body, but not the soul, but rather fear him that is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." And so we need to always be concerned about our souls. The enemy is of this deadlier disease than corona is that of sin that began in the Garden of Eden. And so this is a virus, so to speak, that has been with us since the beginning of time. And there was the serpent in the garden. There is a snake in the in the grass, and so we need to be careful about this enemy. And we know who started that disease of sin. That was the devil himself. There, that in the scripture reading that Marshall read, the devil is a liar from the beginning. He is a murderer from the beginning. And this is also the statement of John in 1 John chapter 3 in verse 8. And so all sickness and death are a result of sin. This coronavirus is a penalty for sin in principle, because all sickness and death are a result of sin. Notice what Paul says in Romans 5:11, 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world. Now notice, through one man, that one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. All right, so Adam brought sin into the world, death by sin. But even behind Adam and behind Eve is the devil himself, the one that tempted the woman, and she took of the fruit and ate and gave to her husband, and he did eat. And so this time of confinement that we are pretty much shut into our homes can be a time when we learn more about God and more about our spiritual well-being and how we can be better people even when this virus is long gone. And so we need to make it a blessing, this time of being at home, not being able to work or go to our job or to be around others very much. We need to spend this time growing spiritually and improving spiritually. It's a time to read and study the Bible. And so the Bible is a book that is practical, it is profitable, but it must be pondered in order to have the pardon. And these are some of the things that we want to talk about then this morning. The Bible is a practical book. The psalmist said, "The entrance of thy word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." And so this is the source then of our spiritual information. It gives us light. It opens up the mind. It expands our knowledge of spiritual things. You know, the Bible is the only book that can really help us spiritually. There, men write a lot of books. Solomon said, "The making of books, there is no end." But on the other hand, this one book is the book that we need the most. And the scriptures, the holy scriptures, are what help us to know about our Father in heaven, about his wonderful Son, and the price that was paid for sin. And so the Bible is designed to meet our needs. It's designed to meet man where he is. And the characters in the Bible are just like people today. You know, I think sometimes we get the idea that everybody in the Old Testament was like Samson, or everybody was like Joshua, or David killing the Goliath. Well, they were, but even Joshua and David were just average people. David was a very young man when he took that task of Goliath. And so they were not superhumans. They were men and people and women that God could use. And when we make our life a channel of blessing, when we make our life something that God can use, then God will use us. and we can overcome the frailties of life, the frustrations of life, and the fears of life. And certainly our world is experiencing a lot of fear, some more than others, yeah. But the Christian is able to have a calm spirit even in the height of fear.
Amen.
When we trust in Jesus. When Jesus was asleep in the boat, Mark, I like the reading in Mark. It says he was asleep on a pillow. Well, that kind of a detail. Jesus was comfortable. In the midst of a storm, the disciples were afraid. But Jesus said, "Peace, be still." And their fears were relieved. He can say that same thing to your heart and your mind and your soul today. And we can have that peace that passes understanding. The paths that led them into sin are the same kind of paths that we follow today. The temptations that men face, there is no temptation that has overtaken us that God says that we can't win and that we can't beat. And he has made a way of escape. So we need to follow that way and make sure that we overcome and not be overcome. The principles that made them strong will make us strong. The problems they faced are the same kind of problems we face. And the solutions that they had are the same kind of solutions that God affords to us in our time. And so men have always been about the same. We are what we are. We are as God made us, but we need to remember that God did make us and that we then are subject to his will and that we one day will see him again in the judgment. The Bible is profitable if it is put into practice. And so the Bible demands the practice of the truths that are found in it. Before our mind can be enlightened, it has to know some of those things that the Bible teaches. Jesus, in John 7:17, said that we are to test the word. Well, let me turn and read it, since I don't bring it to mind at the moment. John 7:17. If anyone wants to do his will, he will know whether it is from God or whether Jesus is speaking of himself. In other words, Jesus is saying the person who wants to know God's will apply it. How do you know whether anything is good until you try it? I tell my kids to eat these greens. No, I don't like that. Well, try it. You'll like it. Well, that doesn't always work in that realm. This is what Jesus is saying in John 7:17. Try God's will. Test it. Prove it. Put it into use and see if it doesn't improve your life. And in John 8:31, he says, "You are my disciples indeed." If you apply that word, "and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." James called the teaching of Jesus pure religion. Pure religion. And undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. We have an obligation to other people as well as to ourselves, and we want to do what God teaches. In the Romans chapter 12, Paul begins by saying, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, for this is your reasonable service." And he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. And so then throughout that chapter, he is telling us things that will help us in our relationships to other people as well as our relationship to God. Rejoice with those that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. And so in a time of affliction like our world is going through right now, we can rejoice when we know that somebody that's been sick recovers. And we can weep with those who do not recover. And so there is always occasion for that. In Ephesians 4, 25 through 32, Paul talks about the being how to be honest, to not lie, and do not steal, and to be truthful, and not harboring anger in your heart. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Well, too often we do let that anger lay up in our heart. Yeah. And it'll end up hurting us, and if it's there very long, it will destroy us. But the last verse is a verse from my childhood. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Wonderful little verse that just packs a wallop. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 42, tell us what to do to be saved. So many need salvation.
Yes.
Our world, Alpheus mentioned in our prayer, the people that die every day and are heading for eternity to meet God unprepared.
Unprepared.
And so we all need to know what to do to be saved, and we need to put that into practice to be saved. When they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 41 says, they that gladly received his word were baptized.
Yes.
And there were given to them that day about 3,000 souls. And so 3,000 on that day of Pentecost became Christians, and the nucleus of the church started. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking bread and prayer. Now, the Bible is to be pondered. Ponder is not a word that I use every day, but it's a good word. It simply means to meditate and think about something. And so you sit, you go to see somebody, and they're just kind of sitting there, got a serious look on their face. Well, they're thinking. They're meditating about something. They're pondering something. The Word of God is something that needs to be pondered. But we can't think about the Bible if we don't read about it. I can look at this cover all day long, and it doesn't have very many words on the front of it, but if I open it up, there are just plenty for me to read, and very helpful if I will ponder it. So this is what we're getting at. We meditate and think about its teaching. In Proverbs 4, let me read that one. Proverbs 4 and start with verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all of your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. All right, so ponder before you walk. You know, a lot of people need to ponder before they go out the door. Where are you heading? What are you thinking about? And what is going to happen when and if you get there? And we save ourselves a lot of trouble if we think about it beforehand. So 1 Timothy 4, Timothy as a gospel preacher was told to take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and them that hear thee. And so people reading the Bible. I looked up all these pictures of people reading the Word of God, men reading to their families, to their children, and women reading to children, and people sitting. This fella here, over here, that's Bruce. He's really meditating hard, getting ready for another lesson. And so preachers need to study, and we have a preacher that does, I can guarantee you. Well, the Bible gives pardon. Why do we need pardon? Because we are guilty. Bruce was teaching in the Bible study about the thief on the cross, and he said the thief confessed, we are guilty, and that's why we're condemned, that's why we're being crucified. But this man, pointing to Jesus, or looking at Jesus, has not done anything wrong. And so it's because of when we ponder the Word of God and find ourselves our real spiritual situation as God sees us. You know, I can look myself in the mirror and, oh, what a great fella. But, or I can look at another person and they look at you. And, you know, we're all fine. We're good. But there is someone else looking at us too. As the old song says, there's an all-seeing eye watching you. And so the Lord is the one that we're going to have to answer to. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. And so that judgment that is coming to us is one where we must give an account. And so the alien sinner needs to read the Word of God. And Paul in Romans 3:23 said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so until you're forgiven, you're a sinner. And the sinners need to read the Bible. And the book of Acts is the place to start. We already talked about Acts 2 and verse 38. But so the people on Pentecost, they heard the Word of God preached by Peter and the apostles, and they gave themselves up to that word and were baptized into Christ. But the man from Ethiopia, reading from Isaiah the prophet, and Philip taught him the gospel. And the Saul of Tarsus, on the road to Damascus to arrest people and put them in prison, some even to death. But he, too, was converted and told to arise and be baptized to wash his sins away. And the centurion, I think that it's very interesting that in the time of the Roman occupation of Judea, who was the first convert of the Gentiles?
Cornelius.
A Roman soldier. Isn't that amazing? You would think that they would be so hardened, and I'm sure many of them were, that they would not even think about something like this. But this was a man who had a good heart from the very beginning, and he, when he heard, he obeyed. And so the people of Corinth They, hearing the word, believed and were baptized. Acts 18 and verse 8. Now, this coronavirus is going to be cured. I am very confident of that. It may take a while. I don't know. We don't have any idea. We pray that it will be soon, that they will have a breakthrough medicine that will be able to treat this, because it is so devastating and so all-powerful and invading. And so we need a cure, but I think that it is going to get a cure. I'm confident that that will happen. Well, God cured the sin problem a long time ago. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus is the great physician. He is the one who came to this earth and was able to cure the ills and diseases and pestilences that came into the lives of people. Isaiah talked about this Jesus. Surely he hath borne our sorrows and carried our griefs. And oh my goodness, that's awful. And the let's see, there's 6 points, and I had them all right here. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet he was bruised for our iniquities, and with his stripes we are healed. That's the fourth verse. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have departed everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. But tremendous verses there that we need to see applies to Jesus as our Savior and our physician. The sin problem was taken care of when Jesus died on the cross. His blood is the price paid to take away our sin. And so we love him because of that. And so what must I do to be saved? Acts 16 and verse 31, that was the question of the jailer at Philippi. What must I do to be saved? And the answer was to believe in Jesus. And when in his believing in Jesus, when he heard the story of who Jesus was, he believed in Jesus, and they took him the same hour of the night and washed his sins away. The prescription of the great physician is written in a book. And that prescription says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. And Acts 22:16, Saul of Tarsus told to arise. Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. The Bible is the written prescription. The Word of God is where we appeal for salvation. A Christian needs to know what to do to be saved too. Though we have been washed from our sins, this doesn't prevent us from sinning again. Simon, the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8, is a case in point. Simon believed in Christ and was baptized. But he, seeing the miracles that Peter was doing, wanted to buy that power that Peter had. And Peter said that the thoughts of his heart were not right. And so he said, what should I do? And Peter told him to repent and pray. And we need to follow just what the sorcerer did. Repent and pray. And so when we find ourselves in a sinful situation, we need to extricate ourselves from that by confessing our sins and repenting of our sins and praying for forgiveness of our sins. We don't need to be baptized another time. There's one baptism, and when we have experienced that baptism, then we need no other. We simply need to repent and pray. And so all need to know how to keep themselves on the straight and narrow. When we're dealing with the coronavirus, we trust and obey the health authorities. And the result then is to prevent and or restore our physical health, or prevent further virus or restore our health. And I'm sure that that's going to come. But dealing with sin, we have to trust and obey God, the Holy Spirit, His Son, and the Scriptures. And the result then, there will be a curb on that dreaded disease of sin in our life. There will be a control of it, and there will be a washing away of it. You know, we wash our hands to help us keep the virus away. Well, you can be washed in the blood of Christ and have your sins taken away. And so dealing with sin, we need to be baptized into Christ. Are you taking care of your soul? If there would be a need for any of you to obey the gospel today, we want to help you in your obedience to Christ. And if you're one in need of baptism, we can take you and baptize you for the remission of your sins. If you need the prayers of the church on your behalf, the preacher, the elders, we stand ready to pray for you and with you to help you to overcome whatever problem of sin you have in your life. But if you need to respond to the invitation, make your request known as we stand and sing, "Won't You Come?"